Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, we'll read through verse 13. This is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. "This then is how you should pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let us pray. O Lord, we pray you would illuminate the scriptures as we teach, as they are taught and proclaimed, and we pray that you would enhance the prayers of your people, a means of grace to draw nearer to you, through renewal, revival, and reformation that comes in union with Jesus Christ. So teach us, Lord, to pray, and then show us how to pray, and then enable us to pray, empower us to pray, and then grant answers to these prayers in such a way that you are honored and people are blessed, and we are most built up in our holy faith. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and let us all say, amen. Well, it is often hard to believe this in North America today, but the U.S. Department of Agriculture tells us that even tonight, millions of American families will go to bed hungry. Now, I know it is hard for many to believe, especially if you've never had that experience in your life. But it is true. It's not an invented statistic. It's not fabricated by politicians trying to get elected or reelected to office. It is real. Maybe if we're not running into families like that, we're not volunteering enough for Love in the Name of Christ or Jehovah Jireh or the Holland Rescue Mission or on mission trips such as Mustard Seeds and Mountains or even in the coming weeks as we head out west to Colorado. It is real. It is true. And so as a result, that is why you and I as Christians must vitally learn to pray the phrase, "Give us this day our daily bread." God's people and the nation in which we live need sunshine and rain. We need good crops, strong economies. We need good education and high employment. We need medical care, social services, and policies that promote such things. I have a good friend who always says to me, "Steve, why do churches only send out missionary doctors? What we really need to send out are missionary plumbers and missionary engineers to create healthy drinking water." You see, a vital necessity in Christian living, not to mention human society, is healthy food and clean water. And that's why Jesus brings this topic up in the sacred prayer in which we should pray the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, some Christians believe that the phrase, "Give us this day our daily bread," cannot really be talking about something as mundane as literal bread, ordinary bread. To them, this seems so, anticlimactic. It seems so improper. It seems, especially after those first three noble petitions about God's glory that we've studied, how could Jesus interrupt this glorious prayer for the glory of God and his kingdom come and his will be done to talk about food? Bread. And so some think that the bread Jesus means here is spiritual bread. Now, this indeed was the belief of the early church. Many in the early church, the patristics, the fathers like Tertullian, Cyprian, and Augustine, they believed that Jesus was likely referring to the bread of God's word, the bread cast forth, or the bread of the Lord's Supper in the Eucharist. And so they, in their mind, were thinking, praying, "Give us this day our spiritual bread." Well, fortunately, later Christians have understood this petition to be more literal and down to earth in the way that it is meant. Because think about it, how can one live for God's glory, God's kingdom, and God's will do so without food to give us energy to do so? We need food in our belly to live for God's glory. One commentator put it this way. He said, you know, a Beethoven symphony sounds quite different if we listen to it when we are shivering with cold. And he also wrote, and a visit to an art gallery is much less inspiring when we do so on an empty stomach. And so, as Martin Luther said, bread, he writes in his commentary, is a symbol of everything necessary for the preservation of life, like food, a healthy body, good weather, house, home, spouse, children, good government, and peace. So that's why in our own Westminster Shorter Catechism, in the fourth petition, it says this, that in the fourth petition, we pray that of God's free gift, we may receive a competent portion of the good things of this life and enjoy his blessings with them. So dear church, we do need to make it a bold prayer when we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Let us pray sincerely and boldly. And tonight we're going to talk about three things to pray for when we pray that phrase, give us this day our daily bread. Number one, we're to pray for physical needs. Number two, we are to pray for physical needs so that we can serve God for the purpose of God. And then thirdly, we are to do so living one day at a time. We'll discuss these each in order tonight. First, let's pray all about physical needs. This week when we pray, let's make it a physical need week about which we pray. Now, I have to pause for a moment to confess something to you, dear church, and I hate to do so, but I have to say sometimes I'm disappointed during a prayer meeting when we only get prayer requests for physical needs. It's a confession I'm making. Sometimes a prayer meeting will only have a request for traveling mercies or job situations or finances or health needs, and that's it. And in one hand, dear church, if that's the only thing we are praying about, we're not praying a full-orbed Lord's Prayer, are we? For what about spiritual matters? What about evangelism and foreign and home missions, Christian nurture in the home, the advancing of God's kingdom in every area of life? Those are important too. Right, we shouldn't just pray for physical needs that are familiar to us and comfortable to share. But, dear church, to rebuke pastor, I must say this. If you study this petition, you must admit it is perfectly fine to ask prayers for the physical. It is not sub-spiritual. It is not under-spiritual. It is Lord's Prayer spiritual. Material prayers are not low-grade prayers. They are not unspiritual to pray about the physical side. It's no shame in seeking health and work and finances and material provisions from God. And so that's what the Apostle John makes his prayer in that little book, 3 John, 3 John. You know, that one, maybe you skip over, don't read it so much. 3 John verse 2 says this, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers." What a lovely prayer. 3 John verse 2. If you want to sound spiritual at a prayer meeting and you want to just throw that verse out and then share your physical prayer request, and no one will look cross-eyed at you at all. And so when we pray, let us pray for health, let us pray for prosperity, let us bring forth prayers about jobs and health and the economy. You can even ask for prayer for the Federal Reserve. We'll take it and pray it. To refuse to do so is hyper-spiritual. In fact, it's unspiritual. Christians are not to be monastic and deny the needs of the body. On the flip side, we don't deify the needs of the body either. We don't make health and beauty the end-all and be-all, but we accept our bodies as part of God's good creation. We care for our bodies. We enjoy our bodies. We utilize them for the glory of God, and so we honor our Maker by praying about our bodies. You honor God when you ask for traveling mercies. You honor God when you pray for our sick and afflicted, our shut-ins. You honor God when you pray for our unemployed, our underemployed, our young seeking vocational and educational guidance. These bring glory to God, says the Lord's Prayer. Now, I'll tell you one thing if you think about it. Failure to pray for physical needs. Now, think about it. If we get so super spiritual that we won't pray for physical needs, failure implies that we think we can handle the physical all by ourselves, that we've got it covered. We don't need to pray to God, that we can take care of ourselves and supply our necessities without his help. Or sometimes it implies that they're just too mundane or unimportant to God, but that is not true. Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. Deuteronomy 8, verse 18 says, "But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day." God gives the ability to make wealth. He has ordered everything you need to make a healthy living: health, family, stability, education, opportunities, wisdom, knowledge, skills. Think about it for a moment. If just one of those were missing, a stable family life, or educational opportunities, or health, just one or two of those were missing for a moment, your ability to make wealth could utterly fall apart so easily, so quickly. And so, dear church, when we pray for physical needs, we're honoring God by confessing that he and he alone can order all things to meet our physical needs. That's humbling. It's humbling to pray for health and employment and education and unique physical needs. It makes us grateful. It makes us realize, you know, I don't own the family business because I'm so smart and I'm so strong. I own it because God organized all the variables around it to get me where I am in life. And I better keep praying for those variables daily. Amen. All right, secondly, brings us, our first point was we can pray for the physical. Let's do so with spiritual unction. But secondly, we pray for our physical needs, point number two, so that we can better honor God, so that we can glorify and serve God. We don't pray for selfish purposes. Commentator Thomas Watson gives us a helpful warning. He writes, "One man is sick, and he prays for health so that he may be among his cups and harlots," old English there. "Another prays that he would be rich, that he may raise his name, or that having more power in his hand, he may now take a fuller revenge on his enemies. It is impiety joined with impertinence to pray for God to give us temporal things that we may be the better enabled to serve the devil." So, dear church, as we pray for our physical needs, we need to do so seeking the glory and the kingdom and the honor of God, all of those petitions preceding the prayer for bread. As we pray for bread, we are still seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When John Calvin comments on this, he says, "Whenever we pray for bread," says Calvin, "we must not drop our eyes from the ultimate target." So let us pray that we may eat and drink. And as 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." And when God does give us that physical need for which we have asked, then let us, when he does not, rather, give us that physical need for which we ask, let us be content with the fact that we must not have really needed it in the first place. Now, one way to help guard our material prayer life is when we pray for physical things, to only pray for physical things. Necessities, not luxuries. I have to confess that's one reason why I've never prayed, at least in public, that Ohio State would beat Michigan. That is a luxury which I've enjoyed for a good decade or so. I'm so sorry. But that's a luxury. And Jesus commands us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, right? Bread. Bread represents the staple diet of ancient society. It's a basic food. It is basic for life. It's not a luxury. And so if you want to guard your prayers, your physical prayers, from becoming very selfish and even unspiritual prayers, then pray for basic needs and contentment to come with it. Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9. It's just a wonderful summary of how to pray. Listen to this, Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9. Lord, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be in need and steal and profane the name of my God. What a lovely prayer. Repeatedly we see in the Old Testament God's people being blessed by God, and once being blessed by God, they go off and live like atheists. God warned Israel of this, and he warns you and I today. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 12, he says, beware when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and you live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And so to prevent that terrible demise, let's pray for our basics. And pray that we're happy with the basics, content with the basics, blessed by the basics. That brings us to our third and final point. The first point, of course, is it is great to pray for physical needs. Let's make this coming week a physical need week. If you have health issues in the church, you pray for them. Make it that kind of prayer. Secondly, do so for the glory of God. And then thirdly and finally, as we're praying for these needs, let us learn to live and pray one day at a time. Contentment in our prayers by living one day at a time. Notice the phrase Jesus uses. He says, give us this day our daily bread. So he's assuming that this is a daily kind of prayer. You're asking, Lord, on this day that I'm praying, would you this day grant me my daily bread? The key thing here is this prayer is concerned about the immediate day or the immediate future, not the distant future. And by this, I believe, dear church, Jesus is teaching us as Christians to live one day at a time. We are not to fret or worry or to be anxious about tomorrow. We're not to be anxious about the unknown. We are not to waste precious time and precious energy with anxiety. We daily unload that anxiety. I feel like we're all like anxiety meters. We rise and rise and rise every day, and more things are thrown into it, and we've got to do a daily discharge. And that is through prayer. Don't waste precious time and energy with anxiety. Daily depend upon God for needs. Think of yourself as God's people of olden days when they were on the journey toward the promised land and daily had to depend upon the manna. Daily depend upon the manna needs of that day. Don't spoil it. Don't ruin it by worrying so far ahead. Now, it's interesting to think how Jesus taught this phrase Give us this day our daily bread. In an age when most workers, think about it, most workers only received one day's wage at a time. Right? They didn't do direct deposit every 2 weeks or month or every week back in those days and took the government cut and directly channeled it into your bank every 1 week or 2 weeks or however frequently you get paid. I don't know if any of us get paid daily here. It's not a common practice, but it was then. They received their daily paycheck daily. And so think about it. If you're a common worker in the days of Jesus, part of the crowds to whom he preached, then think about it. You were always within 1 or 2 days of disaster. 1 or 2 days of disaster if they became sick, for example. If they could not work that day for some reason, they and their family would not be able to eat the next. And so Jesus asked them to pray for 1 day's wage at a time and trust God for the future, even when they were only 1 day from disaster. Would you be able to depend upon God if you were 1 day away from an empty fridge? This is the prayer Jesus gives us to pray every day of our life, to depend upon Jesus 1 day at a time. Now, I do need to interrupt and say this petition doesn't forbid us from preparing for the future. You know, I have many plans for the future. I hope each one of you have financial goals and a financial plan to meet those goals for the future. In fact, in today's society, our economic structure is such that we all must save for the future. That's the way our nuclear family-based complicated society works. If you're going to be retired one day or have a house one day or a college education, you must save for the future. And this petition also doesn't mean to not save money at all. Prayer is not a replacement for work and savings. But what Jesus does mean is to not worry about the future. He says that in Matthew 6:34, "Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own." Rely upon God day by day. Don't seek to hoard so that you can forget about praying to God. Trust him now. Well, let me close this exhortation to pray with some thoughts about Jesus. You know, Jesus always practiced what he preached. And that's not always the case with us, is it? Jesus did. Jesus, in his commands, has never commanded anything to you and I that he himself would not do. In fact, we learn in the gospel that it was necessary for Jesus to practice what he preached in order to earn our salvation, to be the worthy Lamb of God, the great high priest who can be touched by our afflictions yet without sin. It was vitally important for Jesus that he practiced what he preached for our salvation, to prove he was worthy of dying on the cross. And so when Satan tempted Jesus to turn those stones into bread, Jesus trusted his Father to provide bread in the appointed way. Or with only 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus looked up to heaven and he asked in prayer his Father God to provide for over 5,000 people, which he did. At the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, Jesus told his disciples that God would provide a house for them to celebrate the Passover meal in, and God did. Jesus consistently trusted his Father for his daily bread, and he did so such that where we fail, Jesus does not, even now. Jesus ever lives to intercede for us, and his daily intercession for us includes our daily bread. Let's imitate our Savior. Let's follow in his train. Let us come to God daily with zeal for daily bread, for the glory of God, and in such a way that we can serve him better and live one day at a time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this petition of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And Lord, we in your church are praying for renewal and revival and reformation in your church. We are praying for revitalization. We are praying, O Lord, to be renewed and refreshed and repurposed. And we ask that you would use the prayers of your people to refresh and change your church. We pray that our prayers for the physical realm would drive us to our knees, that we would pray for health matters. Even now, we pray for our shut-ins. We pray for Ken Cortman with his wife, Nella. We pray, dear Lord, for Dina Ludekaisen. We pray, O Lord, for the Den Dalk family. We pray, O Lord, for the aged and gray in our midst. We pray for the little ones, the fresh babes of the church. We pray for physical health and development. And Lord, even now we pray for the financial needs of this congregation, for our young who are seeking guidance in summer jobs or educational decisions or their next employment position. We pray for those who are underemployed in our midst. We pray for those who are seeking new employment. We pray that you would provide and help those who struggle to save and manage their budget and plan for the future with retirement or special needs for basic savings, that you would help God's people to be good managers and stewards of your resources. Lord, we do pray that you would kindly bless those who are traveling so much in the summer months. We enjoy the liberty and the freedom that it brings, but it also brings a change, and it brings need for safety in our travels. And there's so many moving parts in our summers. At times they can get ahead of us or behind us. We pray, O Lord, for those who travel. Lord, we do pray that you would provide for the health needs, the emotional health needs of so many. Depression and discouragement is such a common ailment in a developed country like the United States. It afflicts so many. Those who wake up depressed or discouraged and deal with chronic depression or even clinical depression, we pray that you would free them and liberate them. We pray for those who struggle with their diets, O Lord, who know they need to be in better shape but find it difficult to make changes or structure accountability or motivation to eat more healthy and to be more rested and exercise and to care for their physical bodies, Lord, we pray. Lord, we do pray often for ministers. We ministers times are terrible stewards of our bodies. And how we treat our bodies, what we eat, or how much we sleep, or what we allow our exercise and weight to get to. We pray, dear Lord, that you would bless us and all with health. Lord, there are so many physical needs. We pray for the people groups in the United States who need opportunities. Even tonight, hundreds of thousands, millions go to bed hungry or undernourished or malnourished tonight. We pray, O Lord, for our benevolent ministries that care for such needs and help mobilize your church here in Ottawa County through Jehovah Jireh or Love in the Name of Christ, or those who help care through the Holland Rescue Mission, or those who are incarcerated through Forgotten Man Ministries, or troubled mothers trying to raise their children, to birth them and raise them through the Lakeshore Pregnancy Center and their upcoming Life Walk Ministry or the Allendale Family Life Center. Lord, we pray that you would bless the Biblical Counseling Center that seeks to guide people to mental and better physical health, Lord. We pray, dear Lord, for your church to rise up and care about the physical needs of God's people and of our whole community. Lord, these are super spiritual prayers, and we all need you and kindly pray that you would answer them. Oh, Lord, for those who come tonight with an unspoken request for healing or health or an uplifting of spirit or opportunities for meeting needs that they may honor you, we pray for their needs. Oh, Lord, we thank you that we can together pray, give us this day our daily bread, and may we never cease or desist from this daily prayer for daily bread daily. Thank you, O Lord, for hearing our prayers humbly. And as we prepare now to partake of the bread and the cup, and are touched by what that bread will do to us tonight as we eat it and are physically nourished and the spiritual benefits that come. We look forward with anticipation to that bread and that cup. We thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers, asking this in Jesus' name, and let all God's people say, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.